If you'd asked me several hours ago whether I'm going to be here this morning, I would have said, no way. I think I was involved in a spiritual battle. You know, God, Satan does not want the truth to be proclaimed. My message this morning, title of it is How It All Began. How It All Began. When we look back at the Jewish people and what God had intended for them to be the his spokesman, to reveal himself to the world, how would you have done it? Well, he chose a people. First, he chose a person. And I'd like to turn your minds back some 4,200 years. There was a man named Terah who had three sons, Nahor, Haran, and Abram. His sons, were born in the Ur of Chaldees. Then God, in his marvelous way, the Bible doesn't tell us how, but it tells us that this family moved to Haran, some 900 miles up across the Euphrates River, to Syria, what we now know as Syria. And there they stayed and developed the nation of Israel. If you follow anything of current events, you will know that the nation of Israel is actually, Jerusalem is the center of the world. It's not Tel Aviv, it's not New York. It's not Moscow or Beijing or whoever, but Jerusalem is the center of the world and God has his eye upon it. And that's within the nation of Israel. You know the current events now to move the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Israel is in the works. And when that happens, it will be a disappointment to many people, to many nations. Well, this man, Abraham, was a great person. We cannot imagine all that he was instigator of. But he lived there in Haran, and while he was there, I would like you to turn to Genesis 12. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I don't know how many of you here are 75 and older this morning, but if God would tell you to pick up all that you have and all that you've developed and over the years and head south, someplace where you didn't know, how would you respond? I would like to look at three events of faith in the life of Abram. This first one is when he called him out to leave his household and go on a journey. Abraham had great faith. Hebrews 11 says that he was a man of great faith. And it is demonstrated in many ways as he went on through life. Now, was Abraham perfect? No. But God chose him to be the father of his people, of the Jewish nation. The thing that made Abram the man that God chose was the fact that he listened to him. He had his mind and his eyes on God. And as he made his decisions, his choices, he had God in mind. He chose to follow God. All of us have, our lives are governed by choices. I remember we had an old bishop one time that said, in part we're born, in part we're made, and in part we make ourselves. And I think that's so true. We can't help what we've inherited, but then we have choices to make. And those choices are what determines our life and our success. Abraham chose to follow God. And so we have in this chapter, beginning of chapter 12, the Lord told Abram, get yourself away from your family and from your people, and I'm going to show you a land that I want you to dwell in and become a father of many nations. It's a great promise. You'll notice in verse 3, it says, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. As I look at history, we see how that is played out in history. You take nation of the Midianites. They harassed Israel for many years. God raised up Gideon, and they were dispersed miraculously. You take the Babylonians. You take Egypt. You take Rome. You take Germany. And who will be the next? Nations that, in a sense, cursed the Jewish people. They took them captive and treated them very disrespectfully, dishonorably. And what happened to them? Where are those nations today? Well, as we think of the other side of it, how can we bless Israel? There are many ways that we can bless Israel, I believe. When we were visiting Israel, we spent some time with the Holocaust survivors. One day we took them to a supper, and how they appreciated that. It just brightened their whole spirits. But there's so many ways that we can bless Israel. There's a promise that goes with that. And you and I can be recipients of that by entering into helping the people of Israel. Abraham had a strong faith to follow God. If you were Abram, launching out on his journey with his family, it says he was very rich. He had many cattle. He was prosperous. He was happy where he stayed. But God told him, go to a place where I will show you of. And one has to wonder, you know, how Abraham must have felt in all of this. If you would have met Abraham on the journey with all his entourage, you'd have asked him, you said, Abram, where are you going? Say, to Canaan. And where is Canaan? I don't know. Well, if you don't know where Canaan is, how are you going to know when you get there? Again, Abram says, I don't know. Looking at all his entourage, you'd ask him, well, Abram, are you sure you're going to have enough pasture and water for all your cattle? Abram shrugged his shoulders and moved on, doing it in faith, not knowing whether he went. You say, how foolish that is to make such a decision. But he had a strong faith, believing that God is going to see him through and do what he said. There was a friend of mine years ago after he graduated from high school, he enlisted in in the PAX program, went to Germany with the PAX program. As he was there, his father was killed in a tractor accident. And he had to return to take care of the farm, the family farm. He didn't have any resources, or very little. But he plugged into that situation. And after a number of years, he became a successful farmer. And then one day he got a call from the mission board, said, would you be willing to take care of the migrant work in Florida? He and his wife prayed about that for some time. And finally, they consented. They said, yes, we'll go. And so the rest of his life he spent in that, most of his life he spent in that situation. Later became a school teacher, and later a pastor. And but the uncertainty of it all, some people looked at this, at his decision and said, it doesn't look right, how foolish. But when we follow God in faith, God will provide what is needed. And he will bless the work that he has designed for them. If God calls you to such a situation, things don't always look the way they should. But we need to step forward in faith. An artist painted a picture. It was a picture of a large boat filled with cattle crossing a river, a swollen river, in a severe storm. It looked like certain disaster. The title under the picture said, Changing Pastures. You know, sometimes God takes us through some very devastating experiences that looks like disaster. But they're for our good and for the good of others. Changing pastures. Has God ever changed your pastor? Abram was changing pastures. It didn't look like sense, but he was obeying. in the seventh and eighth verses of that chapter, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east, Bethel. And there he called upon the Lord and built an altar there." You'll notice how Abram kept in contact with his God. He had faith, yes, but there are reasons for that. He was constantly in contact with his God. He built altars along the way. I think it's a good experience for us, good lesson for us, as we keep close to God. You know, today people have to have their eyes and their ears filled with other things. They must have music, and they have to have something to look at. But we need to keep our eyes on God. And like the psalmist song says, take time to be holy. So Abraham moved on to the south, even though it looked like disaster or unknown to him. But his eyes were on God. His eyes and his ears were on God. That's the first faith experience. The second faith experience is found in Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 1 to 7. "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision and said, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that comes forth from thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And Abram, and he said, the God said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. There's a lot of meaning and promise in those verses. We don't all get those promises from God to such magnitude. God said, I'm going to make you great, Abram. Well, Abram said, What's the reason for it? I have no children. No one to pass this on to after I'm gone. What's the purpose? All I have is this servant Eliezer. God said to him, Abram, that's not what I have in mind. God has vision and plans for us sometimes that we can't see the end of. God tells Abram, step outside your tent and look up into the heavens. It was nighttime. What do you see, Abram? Stars. I can't count them. God said to him, that's the number of descendants that you're going to have. Can you visualize Abram, what Abram is thinking? No children. God says your seed is going to be like the dust of the earth. And as far as I know, there's no nation in the world where there's not a Jew. How it all began with one man. We sang "How Great Is Our God." Yes, we sing that song. But you know, we have a great God that can do things that we can never imagine what they'll be. And so I can just imagine the bewilderment on Sarah, his wife's face, when Abram rehearsed all this vision that he had to her that morning. And so Sarah got her mind turning, and she began to think, what can we do about this? I have an idea. And so she told Abram, she said, "Abram, I'm going to give you Hagar, my handmaid, to wife, and get this thing rolling. After all, you know, we're 87, you're 87 and I'm 85. We better get this thing going." So she did. And Abram consented. What a tragedy. You know the conflict that happened through that decision is in our world today and is active in this present moment. Israel, the Palestinians. We saw it all when we were over there. Some roads had signs, big red signs up that said, "You enter at your own risk. This is Palestinian territory." And so you avoided those places. Well, Abram had already made his decision. Abram made a big mistake. You know, sometimes the best way we can help God is to wait. You know that? The best way we can help God is to just wait. And in this case, I think that would have been the proper way. But he listened on Hagar. Now, Sarah. Our wives are a great blessing to us who are married. But you know, there's some times when we as men need to take charge. And in this case, Abram was the one who should have nipped the thing in the bud. But he didn't. It reminds me so much of what happened in Eden. Satan presented a half-truth to the woman. She consented. And oh, you know the consequences that followed. We're experiencing them today. Consequences of that sin. But it was all because the man didn't pick up where where God had designated he should. Ishmael and the Arabs. Ishmael became the father of the Arab nation. And the Arabs, Palestinians, most of them are Arabs. And so there's continual conflict. Even from the very day or shortly after Isaac was born, that conflict began and is with us to this day. Genesis 18:21 says this. Genesis 18, verse 21. Well, that wasn't the reference here I had in mind. But God gives to Abram a geographical promise. As he was traveling on down to Canaan, God says, look to the right, look to the east, look to the west. Every place you set your feet is your land. It's going to be yours. The geographical boundaries that God gave to Abram at that time extended from the Nile River to the Euphrates, north to Assyria, a large extent of land, which is not that way today. But God promised it to him, and I believe someday that will be realized in God's own good way. When Israel became a nation in 1948, there were 872,680 people in Israel. Today, some of the latest census, there's over 20 million people in Israel, no bigger than the size of New Jersey, the area of New Jersey. You see how things have been escalating. God has his eye on the Middle East. God has his eye on Israel. God has his eye on Jerusalem. He says, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. We haven't seen it all yet. How it all began? It began by one man who had faith. No one knows exactly what your life is going to turn out to be. No, we won't be Abraham. But I believe that God has designated for each of us a place to fill that will bless the hearts of those around us and will be a blessing to God's kingdom. One person, God can multiply it. There is an element in our church, among the Christian church today, that says God is finished with the Jew. After he is rejected, after God, in the New Testament we have how that the Jewish people rejected Christ. And because of that rejection, there are some Christians today who say God is finished with the Jew. It's now the church that's taken the place of the Jew. That isn't what God said. It's called replacement theology. It's not biblical. There's a partial truth in it. After the Jewish people rejected Christ, the church was started. And from there on, it's like a siding in a railroad, you know, or a detour. God is using the church today to promote and to propagate his gospel and his laws and his rules, his precepts. But the day will come when God again will bring that back to the Jewish nation. You may disagree with me on that, but as I read the scriptures, I can't help but come to that conclusion. The Bible bears us out on the fact that someday again, the Jewish people will be in the seat of sharing who God is and the blessed hope. Going to the third experience that Abram had, test of faith, we go to Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God, this doesn't make sense. The one and only child that you gave me by promise. Now I'm to take and sacrifice. It says early the next morning, he got his things together, headed for Mount Moriah. There was no dialogue with God. There were no questions asked. You know, sometimes when we tell God to do something, when God tells us to do something, we kind of figure out how it all should be. But that's not what Abraham did. So early the next morning, he headed for Mount Moriah to carry out God's command. Each of these tests that God gave to Abraham, the test of leaving his own people, the test of having children, they were strong tests of faith. But this one supersedes them all. Now take this son and offer him up for a sacrifice. We kind of read over this scripture a bit lightly. But you here this morning who have families, how many of you would like to give up one of your children this way? I think we would have some questions to ask. We'd say, this isn't right. This isn't what God, I don't believe God wants me to do. But you see the faith of this man. Things that, you know, each of these tests gets more severe and more personal. And this goes to the limit. So Abraham went to the place. It's now called the, if you go to Jerusalem, it's now the place where the Dome of the Rock is. It's the place where this happened, took place. And I can just imagine Isaac as he was going along. He says here that he asked his father, he became curious. He said, "Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" Abram said, "God himself will provide a lamb." You know, I had to think about that as it comes to our own personal experiences and our relationship with God. After man fell in Eden, I can just imagine a conversation going on in heaven among the Trinity. There was a blood sacrifice, atonement needed to be made for the sins of men. And as they were discussing this, and there was which way to do it, finally the Son came forth and said, "Father, I'll do that. I'll be that sacrifice." And that's for you and I. We have been the beneficiaries of that. It seems to me it gives you something of the feeling of Abraham and the relationship he had with his son, and the relationship he had with God, how it connects with us today. You know, Isaac could have resisted. I think if I read scriptures, I think that Isaac might have been like the age of some of you over here. He was strong enough and old enough, mature enough to run away when he saw what was happening. But he didn't. And it goes to show something of what the character of Isaac was. He was obedient, submission to his parent, to his father, even though he knew it meant death. We can't quite measure the pathos of all of this. But Isaac submitted. And you know the story. God did supply a substitute, a lamb. Genesis 25, the story continues. Genesis 25, verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Abram lived to be 175 years old. Looks like quite a journey. Ishmael and Isaac shared in Abram's blessing. You know, God said Ishmael's going to receive a blessing too, but it won't be quite like the one I give to Isaac. It says that Ishmael is going to dwell in the presence of all his brethren, and his hand will be against every man. It says he'll be a wild man. That's characteristic of the Arab world. You read it in the papers how fierce they are. You wouldn't like to meet Arabs. But that's the prediction. That's the prophecy God gave to Ishmael. After Isaac grew to years, he married, and they had twins, Jacob and Esau. And you know the story that's familiar about Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons. And he became very wealthy, very influential in, among the society they lived in. He went to his, he had to flee, I didn't mention this, but he had to flee from his brother Esau because he deceived him. Went to his uncle Laban in Haran, back home. There he got his wife and his, and had his 12, had his 11 sons. The other one was added a little later. The 12 sons of Jacob. Genesis 32, 24 to 29. Goes like this. Jacob had to flee from his brother. So he went to Haran. With his brother, his uncle Laban, and he soon lost relationships. There was conflict between he and his uncle. And Jacob said, well, I'll go back to my homeland again. And so he collected all his wealth and headed back toward Canaan. And as he was on his way, this is what happened. He was afraid of his brother Isaac, or his brother Esau. And so he made some preparations how he was going to meet him, because Esau was coming to him to meet him on the way. And Jacob was left alone after he had crossed the brook Chebath. He was left alone thinking about what might happen the next day. There he wrestled with a man until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, Jacob said to him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Thy name shall..." he said, "What is thy name?" And Jacob said, "My name is Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore dost thou ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. This was a pivotal point in the life of Jacob. Jacob was at his wit's end. He didn't know what to expect or what to do, because he knew that his brother had been angry with him. Now he was going to meet him the next day. And as he was thinking about this, he wrestled with this heavenly being. It says it was a man, but it was actually a heavenly being. And as he wrestled, it seemed like no one was being able to win. Came to be daylight. The angel said, "I must go." Jacob said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." And so he blessed him there. And then it's significant what the angel said to Jacob. He said, "Your name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For like a prince you have had power with man and power with God, and have prevailed." We don't know all the strength that Jacob had, but it reveals something of his character that God said this about him. And so we no more hear anything of Jacob from here on, but it's Israel. And it's so significant. From here on, it's the Jewish people are called the children of Israel, not the children of Jacob, because he's now a prince. He's the father of many nations. All began because of Jacob, or of Abraham. Folks, we have a great God. And he recognizes us. He sees us. He knows where we're at. He knows our abilities. He knows our characters. And if we put ourselves in the hand of him, he's going to make of us what he made of Jacob. Not literally, but figuratively. More than we can expect. These sons of Jacob later became the children of Israel. And these 12 children of Israel became tribes. And these tribes were given to that land that God promised Abraham many years ago. Each one of them had their designated portion. So Israel actually, technically, is under the subdivision of these 12 tribes, 12 children of Jacob. It's amazing, but it's true. Not only that, but you go to Revelation 21, and some of you know what I'm going to say. In Revelation 21, it talks about that heavenly city, that glorious city. There's a high wall around it. There are four walls. There are three gates on each wall. And it says the names of those gates are the names of the children, tribes of Israel, the children of Israel. So, what all began back there with one man of faith is now an immortal entity in heaven itself for eternity. We don't realize and imagine all the implications of how God revealed himself and is revealing himself through the Jewish people. We kind of read over them lightly. We think America is great and China is great, big nation, Russia. Powerful. But the little country of Israel is going to prevail. The I was going to finish here with something, but I can't quite lay my eyes on it right now. Oh, this is what it was. How can anyone say that God is finished with his people when all this is in the works? What we see happening in Israel today is not by chance, but it's a result of the promises and the covenants that God made to Abraham. I believe that the life and faith of Abraham is the foundation of the Jewish nation. Now, I've talked with a lot of Jewish people already. And some of them are very just nominally Jewish people. But I haven't found one of them yet that doesn't reverence Abraham. They're all connected with Abraham. They want to connect with Abraham, even though they don't want to follow the principles that he advocated. As we view the covenant events today, the current events today, would to God it would encourage us and strengthen our faith in the promises God has given to us. Yes, a nation has been born, and you and I are part of the recipients of that nation. I like that song that says, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. As we look at the history of Israel and the life of Abraham, we can see it exemplified. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we feel ourselves so insignificant and small when we view who you are and what you've accomplished and done in this world already. And we realize that it's only the beginning of what is going to transpire in the future. God, I pray that you would order our lives so that we would be faithful to you, that the blessings that you want to give us, we will be able to receive. Thank you, Lord, for Israel. Thank you for your people. We know that your name is going to be magnified even in the days and years ahead as you see fit. Lord, may it encourage each of us to be obedient to you and to have faith. Put our full weight of faith upon you and believe that it will be for our good and for the blessing of others. In Jesus' name, amen.